Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, we try to get Karen on the line here. The Tribune reporting this morning as rumors of a hoax were swirling around Jussie Smollett's claim he was the victim of a hate crime attack in downtown Chicago. The Empire actor allegedly sent a text to one of the two acquaintances being questioned by police. And I know, Steve, you had this on our news, and we don't have Karen yet, but maybe we can talk for a second about this. So the significance of this text, and is that the big headline from day two of this trial?
It is. The Chicago detective who was on the stand yesterday, Michael Feese, talked about all of these different aspects of what he then described as a hoax with the Ocendero brothers and all of the things, even a dry run apparently that happened ahead of the actual staged attack that they claim that Smollett was behind. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty significant testimony, and we'll see if, you know, they put him on the stand, Smollett on the stand to counter all of that. But they also showed some video of the Ocendero brothers and a few other things in the first day of prosecution testimony yesterday.
Karen's with us now. What do you make of it, Karen?
Well, you know, I think from what I've seen so far, we're seeing a little bit of defense here, because I think all of us have been convinced that this whole thing was a hoax. And I think I'm seeing that there might be a few holes here. In fact, the Ocendero brothers are being kind of villainized here by the defense, saying these aren't good guys. These are guys who were arrested for this crime initially by the police. The police didn't believe them. They have drugs. They have bad reputations. They have criminal backgrounds. And who are we going to believe here? So it's interesting. And, the case will always be interesting because we have Dan Webb, one of the finest lawyers, not only in Chicago, but in the country, who's trying the case. So I think we're going to expect to see some things that are going to be interesting this week.
Now, originally they were saying that this would last a week, and I thought, really? You're going to get this done that quickly? What do you think?
You know, I guess I just don't know. I mean, I think the testimony of Smollett is going to be crucial. The Ocendero brothers' testimony is going to be crucial. The police, not so much. I mean, the police went through that a little bit yesterday. I don't know. I don't know about a week. I think maybe they can wrap it up early next week and then deliberations and all of that.
All right, let's talk about the other big trial in the news. What's happening with Ghislaine Maxwell and what will happen next?
Well, it looks to me like she's in some trouble. The testimony that happened yesterday was a young lady who's anonymous, who apparently is an actress, who's now in her 40s, and she testified about how Maxwell really, you know, pulled her aside, focused on her, brought her to Epstein, and how, you know, it was just tawdry behavior. I mean, it was an orgy, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the girl was 14 years old. I don't know how you defend yourself from that. And I don't know if she's going to get on the stand. What is she going to say? What is the defense to something like that? It didn't happen when there are several victims. So I think she's in some serious trouble. And this is one of those, Bob, where you just go, I get certain criminal behavior. I get, you know, maybe stealing things or, but like, what was this about? It was a bizarre set of facts here.
The Supreme Court, we'll be ruling on a couple of interesting cases. Bill Cosby, first of all, do you think the court will take that case?
I don't think so. I think this is a narrow set of facts. Remember what happened. The prosecution made a deal with Cosby. We're not going to prosecute you if you testify in a civil deposition. And then years later, the new prosecutor prosecuted him. And that's why the charges were dropped. I think this is a bizarre set of facts. And the Supreme Court doesn't get involved in little facts like this. They do like broad policy kinds of cases. So I doubt they're going to take the case. They take, what, 2% of all cases that they're asked to take. So I think no on this one.
What about the arguments the Supreme Court will be hearing on abortion?
This is a big one, Bob. I mean, this is the court's avenue to overturn Roe versus Wade. And it's interesting because of the policy reasons. It's interesting because we've had 5 decades of Roe versus Wade. But all of the constitutional scholars will tell you that Roe versus Wade, as much as maybe you are approving of the ruling, the basis of it is very faulty. There is no constitutional right really to an abortion. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that, and the right to privacy is kind of an extrapolated theory. But the court does not like to reverse itself after so many years that we've relied on that case. So it's going to be interesting because now we have a very conservative court, but we have all this jurisprudence for 50 years of supporting the right to an abortion, and these arguments are going to be fascinating.
And then as far as the Dante Wright shooting and police officer Kim Potter, the question there, I guess, is when does a mistake become a crime?
Well, in the case of a police officer, unfortunately for police officers, when you make a mistake with a gun and you hurt or kill somebody, it does become a crime. I said, you know, Bob, if you make a mistake, maybe you get sued for defamation. Or if I make a mistake, I get sued for malpractice. But when you're a police officer and you have a very dangerous instrumentality at your hip, then it can become a crime. And it's not obviously first-degree murder, but it's culpable negligence, which means that you hurt somebody and you just screwed up, and they kind of upped the charges to a first degree manslaughter, which means that she was recklessly using her gun and in the process killed somebody. And these are serious charges. I mean, she could go away to 10 to 15 years, although she does have a self-defense that she can lodge by saying that he was resisting arrest and that she did have a right, even though she didn't mean to use her gun, but she did have a right to use it.
I'll correct you on one point. When I make a mistake, my wife lets me hear about it. That's how it works.
Then that could be worse than a lawsuit, actually.
Attorney Karen Conti from Conti Law, thanks as always, Karen. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, Bob.